Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. Welcome to the Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Hello and good morning on this, well, it's a bit of a dreary Sunday morning here in Sydney at least, plenty of rain around, but geez, I'm actually not joined this morning with Jimmy Galvin. I'm with our great mate, Pete Playford. Friend of the show, Pete Playford. Welcome, Pete.
Oh, it's great to be back, you know, especially for the first international show.
It's a special edition.
It's a special edition. That's why they got me back, Drewy.
That's it. Big games call for big guests, and there's none bigger than Pete Playford. But we've also got a few other guests coming up on the show as well. We're going to cross. Look, we've got a pretty big budget here at the Show and Go at SEN.
That's why I'm back.
That's why you're back, but it's also why we sent our man Jimmy Galvin across the Nullarbor to Perth to cover the game for us. The Wallabies versus England last night. He was there. He was our man on the ground. And we're going to catch up with him in just a moment. But also leading up to the for the rest of the show, we're going to touch base with Matt Giddo. Just recently arrived back in Australia from Los Angeles. And also Kirtley Beale, who also just arrived back from Paris. So a couple of big guests coming up. But let's cross to our man on the ground, Jimmy Galvin. Mate, how are you?
Good morning. Yes, I'm very well. I tell you what, it might be dreary in Sydney. It is gorgeous in Perth this morning. It is a winter's morning in Perth, and it might sound like it with my coarse voice.
Mate, why is your voice so coarse? I know that you're just an absolute tragic, but talk us through last night's game for you.
I can talk you through many aspects. Firstly, the Swan Draft here in Perth is a silky drop. Potential sponsor of the show. Ooh. Look, I'm putting it that way. Yeah. I'm putting it out there. It's a great job. But, mate, what a stadium. What an atmosphere. One thing I must say about Perth out here, after spending the week leading into the game, rugby's not dead in Perth. And the atmosphere out of that Optus Stadium and the way to enjoy a game out there is like something I've never actually seen before. But look, awesome game out here last night, I must say. The crowd came out in droves. And not too much of an English support group out here. I didn't hear Swing Low that loud out here, I must say, Drew.
Well, that's always a good thing when the sea of gold is drowning out those English supporters. Jimmy, we spoke through the week. You've been over there. You've been our man on the ground for the week, soaking up the atmosphere. You were there for the Origin last weekend and, of course, the Wallabies last night. And you've told me, I'm a little bit worried about some of your options around your diet. Often when we spoke through the week, you would order lasagna for breakfast. Talk us through your option this morning, mate.
It's jet lag.
Yeah.
Well, I am jet lagged. Lasagna is unusual, I must say, but it has found its way into my hotel room at quite odd hours. But I'm lucky to have called you for those decisions throughout the week, actually, yeah. Drew. But, Sydney's 2 hours ahead of 30, and, there's been some difficult decisions, but I'm lucky to have had you in the dark moments. The room service, everything, the service in general over here in Perth, let me tell you, I could not recommend it higher if you could get over here for a sporting event. And the netball's on over here today. I think, I might check out the Perth.
You're working for Perth Tourism there, Jimmy. So, Jimmy, it's Pete. You haven't acknowledged me yet, and I think it's a bit of jealousy, but I'm sitting in your chair. It's a great honour to do the first international show. We've got some great guests. But I also realise you were over in Perth with the great Bernard Foley. How was it celebrating a Wallabies victory with him?
Yeah, it was really quiet. It was It was a small night, as you could probably tell. No, mate, it was fantastic to have Bernard over here, and we have caught up with Tourism WA and the great people of Rugby WA to spruik aqua rugby over here, and there's some great spots on the Swan River that we've been looking at. Bernard Foley over here with me, he's in a really good place, and I must say, he was having a couple of schooners with me in the stands last night, and when Quade went down, I think he got a couple of tingles down his spine that maybe his romantic getaway next week with a birdie seeing is not going to go to plan.
That is breaking news, because normally Bernard Foley likes to do his work real quietly. He doesn't like to divulge too much.
We might have to get him on the show.
Yeah, mate, I'll give you his number. He went very silent actually last night whilst watching the game with him. But I'll tell you what, it was interesting to watch. It was the first time he has watched an Australian game in the stands.
Yeah, as a spectator. You
know, I've seen him play some games where he's like he's watching.
Yeah. He found it really strange. But watching a game with him and analysing a game was something pretty awesome, to be honest, last night. I think he was uncomfortable with it, but his mindset of watching a game and his commentary of it was pretty awesome.
How many questions did you ask Jimmy?
Oh, look, I think I annoyed him quite a bit. Yeah, but I tell you, he did sing a lot of praise for Noah Lolasio, who really stepped up at last minute. Like he came into an absolute furnace. When Quade dropped out, like we were at the stadium, we didn't know, like there was no announcement on the big screen or anything when Quade was injured, right? So I was just getting texts through from friends and family of Quade's out. It must have come through on the commentary on the great Channel 9 and Stan Sports. No one at the stadium knew, even up on the big screen in the last few minutes. It was still Quade Cooper that was up on the screen. So Noah came in and he was singing Noah's praises, I must say. And yeah, rumour has it that James O'Connor was up in the private suites having a time before he had to put the boots on.
Well, that's very reminiscent of Adam Ashley Cooper's first test, actually also over in Perth, and this time it was Subiaco, but he was in the stands having a meat pie when Elton Flatley got concussed in the warm up and earned his first cap by jumping over the fence and lacing him up.
I met his mum last night.
Karen. Yeah. Karen, actually. Lovely, yeah, she's lady. A great lady.
Karen, friend of the show.
Big, a listener every week, Karen. She's always tuning in. So shout out to you, Karen Ashley Cooper. Thanks for listening. And Jimmy, just last thought, what did you make of the Wallabies performance? You've told us about the atmosphere and you've told us about the hydration over there in Perth. What about the performance?
The first half was actually tough, Drew, I must say. It wasn't an entertaining first half. To get the win, I thought the Darcy Swain headbutt was bloody stupid. Yep. If I'm honest with you, that was a sign of immaturity, and I thought there was immaturity in our second row to begin with, and I sat next to Nathan Sharp during the week at a dinner, and he was concerned in the second row that we were going to get shown up in the set piece and across the board, and yeah, he hit the nail on the head, because that brain snap, like, you know, I like to get my hair pulled sometimes, mate, but obviously Darcy doesn't. And the way that he reacted was...
Would you have reacted like that, Jimmy?
I'll react more positively. it just showed a bit of immaturity and it really...
But I thought Jimmy... I thought Kane Neville really stepped up. I thought he almost met the challenge, and to play 80 minutes at that age, you know, 33, it's just, you know, 1 year older than me.
Yeah. Couple younger than me. And the second half, I thought Samu Karevi really showed some maturity, being one of those three players that you're able to choose that comes from overseas. But look, I thought the performance was gutsy in that second half. First half was tough to get through. It was error-ridden from both sides. To win that game, I thought it showed from a team that hasn't gelled and played together before. Yeah, it was. I thought there's a lot to work from.
Well, Jimmy, we're going to leave you to it, mate. You can get back to bed and continue your recovery before you get on the flight in a couple of hours. Thanks for picking up the phone, mate. And we'll see you next week, will we?
Mate, I've got the show and go loud and clear. When I hear that beautiful music, Spirit in the Sky, I tell you what, it's blasting over here in Perth. Love it.
Mate, thanks so much. And for all our listeners, please stay tuned because we've got some pretty big guests coming up. And if you'd like to join the conversation and ask Curtly or Matt Giddo any questions, please text us on 0457 736 736.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Yeah, and welcome back. It's unfortunately, it's not with Jimmy Galvin. We've just touched base with Jimmy Galvin over in Perth. That he gave us a good little insight of what he's been up to, didn't he, Pete?
Yeah, he did. He's always good for his insights. I just imagine how many people he would have hugged after the
he's a
the
hugger.
He's a hugger, and he's a tragic. He would have been saying this is the best moment of his life.
Well, to be honest, yesterday could have been the best day of his life because there was so much international rugby on, and it started really early with Australia A going up against Samoa. So the Australia A program is back playing in the Pacific Nations Cup, and which I think is an amazing thing to see. Australia A come back into the fold. There's an opportunity for players to get higher level rugby than they would have been otherwise subjected to at club level. It's a great breeding ground, a great opportunity for players to play international standard teams, but also a great opportunity for the Pacific Nations teams to also go against each other, but high sort of calibre players as well.
Yeah, look, it's been a number of years. I think when I was playing, they had the Australia A program. I think it's a really good initiative. I think to be expected, they were a bit scratchy for the first game, but it shows good signs that they're trying to build this depth. I think there was a big gap when the NRC was pulled, and now to have this next level of competition is only going to bode well for the future.
Yeah, so the result, Samoa getting the better of Australia, 31-26. It came down to the wire. It was 26-all. Australia fought their way back to get to 26-all, to be fair, and then a few minutes to go, Australia were trying to chance their hand a little bit, running out of their own 22, and Lalakai Fekete just pushed a pass a little bit too much on the edge, and Nigel Arwong threw out his left mitt, intercepted it, and won the game for Samoa.
Yeah, it's a huge result for them. I think you're seeing now with Manu Samoa in the Super Rugby and the Fijians as well, you're seeing some really positive responses for the national teams.
Yeah, and then moving on to the next game in that competition was Fiji versus Tonga, and there was a lot of talk around some of the selections for Tonga. Players that have been playing for other international teams previously have been are now eligible to play. The Izzy Flowers, Fiki Towers, Pia Tau. Yeah, the huge lineup of players, but for them, it was they're all backs. And that wasn't their issue last night or yesterday afternoon. It was the forwards that got dominated by the Fijians. And then off the back of that and the set piece and the dominance that they had up forward, Fiji trounced them 36-0.
That's a hammering, right, considering the star quality that Tonga had. And again, Fiji on the back of a Super Rugby campaign showed some strength. I don't think they picked all their international players or...
There were some players that came back from Fiji. Oh, sorry, from Europe that... representing Fiji yesterday, not all of them, but there's a good little mix. I think Ben Volavola, who a lot of people will know from his time at the Waratahs, some of the guys from Europe were given an extra week off, so they'll feature.
Brad Radra?
No, he wasn't playing, but Wasilevu, the captain at 13. There was a couple of players that there. Juan Acolo, one of the wingers who represents Toulon over in France. So there was a few of them, but I think. The teams, well, players that were involved in teams that went deeper into the finals got an extra week off, and they'll be playing next week. So Fiji could even, they're only going to get better. I think looking for Australia A, Samoa was probably the game they would have probably tipped to win.
They should actually have the team that wins that program should pay England, the losers of the international series.
Of the Yellow Mobs Cup. Okay, and then moving on in the afternoon, it was France taking on Japan over in Japan, and France smashed the Japanese 42-23. France didn't also take their strongest side, so France, I think they're honestly a real danger in next year's World Cup. Obviously going to be the host, but what they've been putting together and the depth of their squad, they're going to be frightening next year.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. The depth, they brought over a third string team last year to Australia, and then they reaped the benefits of that back end. But you know, you're the only one in this room, Drew, that's been to a World Cup. How important is depth?
Look, it's huge. It's depth, just knowing that like you're going to get injuries throughout the course of the World Cup, but also in the lead up to it, and you need to know that the players that you're bringing in have had recent international experience. And that's one thing Fabien Galthié, the coach of France, has been doing. He's been giving so many players an opportunity at the top level, whether it be at Six Nations or on tour, an opportunity at international level. So he knows, but also they individually know, but also their teammates know they can do a job if they get called upon. And then it was a 5 o'clock game here in Sydney, which was New Zealand, 5 o'clock, but it was obviously played in New Zealand. New Zealand up against the Irish, and wow, we saw the juggernaut that is the All Blacks, almost at their best. 42-19 victors.
Yeah, they're a class above leading into a World Cup. You know, you always see these kind of signs, but no, there's a lot of conjecture around how far they push the rules. Now, as a winger, I didn't know the rules anyway, so I think they'll play on. But look, they play a very fine line, but the results are very promising.
Yeah, I mean, that's always one sort of talking point when you're talking about the All Blacks, is how much they push those boundaries. But you're only going to push them as far as you're allowed to, right? Like if the referee feels like it's going too far, you get penalised, and then they would adjust along on the run. Sorry. So look, the All Blacks. There was a lot of chat around Beauden Barrett at 10 over Richard Mwanga. Geordie Barrett at 15. I know that Will Jordan was out through COVID, but he was tipped to be playing on the wing instead. So a lot of chat about some of their selections, but geez, they stood up.
Yeah, they're by far, I reckon, them and France are the former international teams after the weekend.
Yeah, and then we'll come back to the Aussie-England game, but South Africa got over Wales over in South Africa with the last-minute goal to Willemse, and they won 32-29, rather. Huge result for South Africa, but I think everyone was tipping them to do it quite comfortably.
Look, it's an interesting one because I obviously didn't get up and watch that game, and I haven't seen them in the Super Rugby, so there's not a lot of form to look at. But as you said, they were tipped. The Welsh team was quite a second string team, or
yeah, look, the Welsh are struggling probably to their own emissions as well just recently. But South Africa, I don't know. It's hard with South Africa. They've almost had the same exact team since the last World Cup.
Is Bobby Skinstad still playing?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, really the only change was Wesser at number 8 for Dwayne Vermeule, and otherwise it was pretty much the same sort of starting 15, even 23, is what they've had for the last 4 years or so. So they obviously, they've got the guys. They feel like they can do a job. They've backed them. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know moving forward. I don't know how strong South Africa are going to be in terms of contenders for next year's World Cup. They seem to be playing the same type of footy with the same.
Are you ruling
them out? No, I'm not ruling them out, but I don't know. I just think that they've not really progressed too far. They've got the same players. They're playing the same style, and
they've kind of gone opposite to a lot of the other countries who have gone youth.
Yep.
over experience, and they haven't really reset from the last World Cup. So you might be right, but South Africans, you can never rule them out.
No, that's true. And then this morning, Michael Checker, first game as head coach of the Argentinian Los Pumas. They won 26-18 over Scotland. So great result for Checker in his first game.
And also, I believe Lebanon played last week in rugby league. So he had a double international win, which I don't think has been done by any coach in the world.
Yeah. I mean, Checker, he's the only one that can juggle about six jobs at international level at the same time. But yeah,
I reckon they're a smoky. I reckon that he can, you know, that 18-month lead up to a World Cup, you've had him.
Mm-hmm.
In a lead up like that, you can see the power he can bring, and Argentinians are always up for a World Cup. So I reckon it's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Yeah, and then we get to the big one, Australia. Victors 30-28 against England. How good was that result, Pete?
Yeah, I think it was an amazing start. I'm such a fanboy over Dave Rennie. I think the way he handles himself in the lead up to the game, you know, not getting into barbs with Eddie Jones, despite Eddie Jones trying numerous times to get a reaction out of him. I can't wait to talk to Curtly Bill about how he sees Dave Rennie and the impact he has on the squad. But you saw a really mature approach. And I think even McKellar at halftime, when they spoke about going down to 14 men, it was like nothing was different. the mentality and the approach was just first class.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that red card, that was only part of the adversity that the Wallabies faced. It started with Quade Cooper picking up a calf injury in the warm-up, and you could just see in the coverage that there was an issue. And Sharon Flyhive, the doctor, Kieran Cleary, the physio, and Dave Rennie were all there. They're all talking, but no one had hands on Quade's calf. So that was an indication straight away that he was not going to play. Like if it was something that was, you know, quite minor and maybe he could have pushed through, Kieran Cleary would have been down there with his thumbs trying to rub it out or something, you know, like just trying to get him back on the pitch. But because they were just standing there having a conversation, Quade wasn't going to take the field, which meant that the man up in the hospitality suites, James O'Connor, got the call. Mate, get down, what you needed. And then, of course, there was a sickening injury. Tom Banks, feel sorry for that young fella. That the broken arm, he's done it before, but just as he was went up for a high ball, put his hand out to brace his fall, and you could just see a clean snap of that forearm. It was disgusting.
I couldn't look at that,
yeah,
Drew, but yeah,
I turned away from
him.
Screen.
I think that was his chance, as we know, to really put a strong play forward. Going to Japan next year, that may be his last game in a green jersey. Gold jersey, sorry.
Yeah, well, green and gold, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then obviously the red card. I know that Johnny Hill pulled Darcy Swain's hair. I get that, and that's not part of the game either, which is why he got a yellow card, but it just doesn't give you the right to headbutt someone.
Yeah, so in your eyes, clear red card.
Clear red card. We won't see him again in this series, and nor should we. Like, a headbutt is not part of the fabric of the values of the game, and I know that he was antagonised and he was baited, but, you know, you're a grown man and you're playing at the highest level. You can't be drawn into that.
But it makes me confirm one thing, because when they were saying, do we have too many players on the field in rugby union, let's get rid of one winger, I think the answer's been laid bare to say we only need one second rower if we were to get rid of them. They don't. I know I always thought they didn't do much.
Well, Caden Neville had to really step up in the absence of Darcy Swain, because not only would he have to have taken a lot of the workload, but he was also... Darcy Swain was also the line-out caller. So all the repetitions they would have done through the week, the timing, the calls, the identification of the defensive line of the English and where Parecki also on debut, where he was having to throw the ball. Huge game from Caden Neville to step up around the field and his workload, but also to take the calling from Darcy Swain as well. So much adversity that the Wallabies faced throughout that game, but a huge result. And coming up after the news, we've got Matt Giddo and also Kirtley Beale joining us. So if you'd like to ask them a question, make sure you text it through on 0457 736 736.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Welcome back to The Show and Go, and it's Drew Mitchell with Pete Playford on this special international edition. And speaking of international editions, we have the great honour of having a friend of the show and a great friend of ours, Matt Giddo, joining us. Gits, how are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you boys?
Yeah, we're not too bad. What about, mate, well, firstly, you've just touched down into the country, back from LA just the last couple of days. How are you feeling? How did the family travel?
Not great. Yeah, not well. Not well at all. My middle son gets travel sickness. We've got a two-year-old baby who's been up since 3 this morning, but... you know, we're alive, Drew. I don't want to complain.
Mate, how can you complain when all 5 of you fly up the front?
I didn't know there was a back.
Yeah, you never turn right when you get on a plane, always turning left. Mate, I wanted to just jump straight into it. What did you think of last night's performance from the Wallabies?
I thought with the disruptions and everything that they had plenty of opportunities to find an excuse, but they found a good way to win and win. You know, obviously, if you take away that last try from England, they won quite convincingly as well. So, yeah, I think it was a real positive first step, you know, for them as to their, you know, progression to the World Cup next year.
Gits, Pete Playford here, mate. Welcome back.
Thank you, player.
Big one on, you saw that, you know, with Quade pulling out just before the game. What are your thoughts on this young Noah Lolesio? I think last year he was a bit inexperienced, but last night he really stepped up.
Yeah, I reckon sometimes it can be advantageous if you get called in late. You don't have to think about the game too much. You don't stress. For him, he would have been preparing all week. knowing his role in case Quade got injured early in a game. But when you're on the bench, you don't think that way. I think he was probably just thinking he might get 20, 30 minutes and then last minute to be thrown in and be told that you're starting. I think he would have been across the detail, but it's actually, I think it helped him. He didn't have time to worry. He just went out there and played his natural game, and I thought he did really well. He would feel a lot more comfortable, I think, at the Test Arena after his performance last night.
How do you think with Eddie Jones, you've been coached by him, and they would have layered their game around Quade being 10, and they play quite a different style. Do you think that's had a bit of a say in it as well, that they didn't adjust to having a different 10?
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, I think obviously Eddie, he leaves no stone unturned when he's preparing the team. So I think he potentially would have even had like some sort of small game plan if Noah was to come on earlier than expected. But I just think, I just thought that, especially with everything that happened, the Wallabies didn't get any favours. And they showed a pretty, well, wouldn't say dominant performance, but I think they were the deserving winners. So I think they'll get a lot of confidence out of that.
Mate, speaking of some dominance, what about you on Twitter last night? What's going on, mate? Just stirring the pot a little bit. What's happening with the game? Talk us through that. Did you eat your own words this morning?
Oh, I just did. It was getting too much.
Beef.
I'm fragile at the moment. I'm jet lagged. I'm fragile. So I to be fair, when I watched the game, I was watching it last night and I thought, I just really enjoyed the contest. And I wanted, obviously, the Wallabies to win, but I just wanted there to be a good contest. And as soon as there's a red card, you automatically feel like the other team gets the advantage. So I went a little heavy-handed on the tweet and I threw that out. Wasn't a real lot of support, to be honest.
I even texted you saying, Beef, that's a red card in any level of footy in any part of the world.
You're not a ref. You're not a ref. Yours holds no weight. I think it was just once I watched it again and you see what actually happened, I don't think it was a huge headbutt. Like a big headbutt is if you really bring your neck into it. What he did was silly and he probably did deserve the red card. So, you know, I was in the wrong. But, yeah, that was pretty much it.
Look, you do have a little bit of support. We've had a text through from a Matt also said, how is that hair pull not a red card offence? A grubby act, that to me. And it's far worse than a little headbutt. So you got some support from one of our listeners. What did you think about the hair pulling?
I'm not a big fan of that either. There's so many things that you can miss throughout a game. So I also don't want to complain too much because the one thing that he picked up, I complained on. So it's a tricky one. I think you can't pick up everything, but I think if there's going to be a siding to that headbutt, potentially that push in the face or the hair pulling, something's got to be looked at. There was a long time ago, I think there was a reward for Georgie Smith's dreadlocks.
Yeah.
You know, teams would purposely target to pull his dreadlocks to get him out of the ruck. So, I mean, that can't be in the game either.
Look, the contract I was on, I got six of them. Paid for two more years.
And what about you, Gitz? Obviously, you unfortunately weren't able to play any minutes this year for the LA Guillotinies up in America for the in the MLR. And unfortunately also for your team getting kicked out just the week before the playoffs. Talk us through what happened there or what you can say at least, what to your understanding and what about next year? What happens next for Matt Guido?
What happens next? I'll cross that off straight away. I don't really know. For me, it was, I don't know if the writing, is on the wall a little bit, not being able to get a game out. So I had like a small tendon injury, like in my calf, and I just kept trying to push it and come back too early and it would keep re-aggravating. So, where I'm at the moment is I just want to get that right so you can run around and do normal stuff, with the family, the kids or whatever else. For the team, it's disappointing to get kicked out. We still don't know a great deal about it, other than we know it wasn't salary cap, but I don't really know any more than that. The club can't say anything, I think, for legal reasons. So we don't, I don't know exactly where that's at, to be honest, Beefies. But, yeah, that's it. Disappointing season, obviously compared to the one before, we were able to win the title. But to be pulled out so close to the finals was pretty devastating for the boys.
Now you talk about Eddie Jones leaving no stone unturned. You were coached by one of the great, I think, future coaches of this era, Adam Ashley Cooper, who's off celebrating in Vegas. Run me through his coaching methods.
Yeah, Coopy. Well, it was an interesting dynamic because, you know, obviously really good mates with him, as you boys are as well. So, I don't know. I think there was just at times, you know, it obviously I'd go in and talk to him as a mate, but then other times you want to show him the respect that normal that you would for any coach, and to make him feel as welcome. And I think valuable is probably the biggest thing. As a coach, or as a player, you want to feel like you're always adding value to the group. But then when you're now coaching, you can't actually play and add value. You've got to find a different way. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. Good dynamic with him, and working with him and helping him out was good. I think he really did enjoy it. I don't know why he's celebrating in Vegas, though.
Now, I want one exclusive that when Drury Mitchell retired, he ran a marathon. Can we get you confirming that when you finally hang up the boots in a couple of years that you'll be running a marathon?
Look, I think what Drew did was very admirable, especially off the back of 7 days on the beers. I think he'd done it for sure. But no,
and a fight with Busta Rhymes.
Never say never, player, but I just think that long stuff, I just don't know if it's for me.
Mate, if it's not for anyone, it's me. So if I can get through a marathon, you are most certainly going to be doing one.
Yeah, I know, but my thing is, I want to be proud of the time as well.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Either was I.
No, I don't mean that, but I mean to have a real crack at it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have a go at it. It's just, out of the way I'm wired, and it wouldn't be enjoyable.
Yeah, you don't want to do it just to shuffle through.
Yeah, although I reckon that's what I will be doing.
Well, Gits, thanks so much for spending some of your Sunday morning with us. Say good day to your wife, Bianca, for us and the kids. I'll see you down in Canberra soon. But, mate, thanks for the chat.
Absolutely. Thanks, boys.
All right, coming up on the show and go, we've got Curtly Beal just after this break. So if you want to ask Curtly a question, please text it through on 0457 736 736.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Hello and welcome back to The Show and Go with Peter Playford and Drew Mitchell. And look, it's a great honour to have another great friend of the show and an international rugby star, Curtly Beal, join us. KB, how are you, mate?
G'day, fellas. Thanks for having me. How are you, bud?
Mate, I'm good. I'm good. Obviously, I spent the night with you watching the Wallabies play last night. Firstly, how have you pulled up this morning? And let's just start there before we get into anything else.
Yeah, no, it was great to catch up with you, Drew. I haven't seen you in a couple of years, so it's good to kind of have a nice little couch session and watch the Wallabies put in a pretty good performance, I think. A few controversial debates there in the lounge room. But
it got heated between you and I, didn't it?
It did. It almost turned into another wrestle. But we don't want that.
Well, okay, let's talk about from the game. Mate, right from the start, Wallabies are up against some adversity. Quade Cooper getting injured. James O'Connor coming down from the hospitality suite. Noah going into the number 10 jersey. Tom Banks, that was an ugly arm break. We've spoken about that earlier in the show, but that was ugly last night. Darcy Swain with the red card. So the Wallabies were well and truly up against it. What was it that really impressed you most about their performance?
Just how they kind of bounced back from all that kind of adversity at the start. You know, Quade, it was a big loss for him. And then the ability for Noah to come in and to be able to direct the team the way he did, I thought he showed a lot of maturity in guiding the team around. And, you know, I just think the culture of the team, being in the Autumns last year with that group, there's something about it that everyone's, you know, plays for each other, and Dave's got a really good, control of the ship, you know. So he allows the boys to be, you know, feeling comfortable where they are, and it just seemed there was no panic. There was a lot of calm, a lot of composure, and led by Hoops up front. And I think, they got through it together, and that was the difference in the end.
KB, Pete Playford here, mate. Welcome back on Australian soil.
Cheers, Petey. How are you, brother?
Mate, I'm good. I flew to Paris the other week to see you, but I just understand you were busy. That's all good. mate, I'm in awe of Dave Rennie. I think you mentioned some things there about how the players responded, and I think having been involved in coaching and playing, the role of a coach can have a big impact. Tell me what we can't see, because we see a really level-headed coach who doesn't get into the media wars. But I know that you came back last year and had a really close affection with him. So run me through what the general public don't see about Dave Rennie.
He's just your kind of it's almost like a father figure, you know. He makes you feel comfortable in your own shoes, and you know, playing at that level, there's a lot of head noise, there's a lot of noise in the outside, and I guess Dave just brings that presence of calmness and just allows you to be yourself within the team, and he doesn't want everyone to be the same person, but he just kind of allows everyone to express themselves within, you know, the team culture, the boundaries that we set and the standards that we set. And, you know, I think him as a coach, he's very calm, he's collective, and, you know, it just allows you just to be able to express yourself, Pete. And I think that's a real good quality a coach could have. You know, when a coach can, you know, allow his players just to be themselves in the environment, you know, you see wonders, what we saw last night in that first test.
So, run me through it. 5 minutes to go. Drew Mitchell's gone to the bathroom for a quick chunder. What are Dave Rennie's last words to the team? What's his style just before they run out?
There's certainly no yelling, that's for sure. He's just quiet. He's again, I'll say calm. You know, he'll bring you back to the detail that what's required. You know, he's very detailed around strategy. Very clear, and just expresses clarity in the way we need to get out of situations, and everyone knows their own job. And I think you know, last night, I know we went down to 14 men, but again, there was no panic. Guys understood what their roles were and executed, and you know, it's a real credit to the guys and the leadership on the field, and I think you know, it's a good sign.
KB, let everyone know just where you're at. Obviously, you play a bit of fullback, and unfortunately for Tom Banks, he won't be playing in the short term by any means. So does that mean a Kirtley Beale might get a call up into the squad at some point, or where are you at? Fit, ready to go, or not? What's going on?
Mate, look, it was a frustrating finish at Russie in Paris. You know, I haven't played in 5 months, so... it's been a frustrating injury, but look, I'm back. I'm excited to be back on home soil and to be able to put my best foot forward, you know, and hopefully in games later in the year. I'll be going up to Wallaby camp tomorrow, just have a check-in with the Wallaby staff and to get a program for myself to be able to, you know, get myself in the right condition and to be able to have an influence in the back half of the season.
Mate, what about off the field? I know that you and your beautiful wife Maddie are expecting. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, super excited. A little KV's coming through. we're all happy here. My wife's been, you know, great support. We had a good time in Paris 2 years, and you know, she's my number one supporter, and I'm grateful for her support. We're super excited for a little one to come through, and we're just great to be back on home soil, catching up with you guys, our, you know, our best friends and family, and you know, we're looking forward to that.
What type of father do you think you'll be, mate? Are you going to be the disciplinarian, or are you going to leave that to Matty?
Yeah, look, he'll definitely have a few uncles around there that can use that discipline. So, I'll kick back and just let him be, you know, who he wants to be.
He might have a few uncles that also lead him astray as well.
Look, that's okay. As long as we get some browns around that, we're all right.
All right, KB. Well, thanks so much for tuning in and making yourself available on this Sunday morning. I know that not only you're battling the weather, but also jet lag. And I think are you catching up with your family as well today?
Yeah, seeing the family today, so that'll be nice. This Sydney weather, it's another couch day, I think.
Yeah, has nothing to do with last night. Well, anyway, mate, thanks so much for thanks so much for your time, and we'll hopefully catch up with you throughout the course of the Wallaby season, and hopefully see you out there at some point.
Sounds good, fellas.
All right, thanks KB.
Cheers, guys.
How good catching up with KB after a couple of years over there in Paris. Like he said, it was unfortunate that he wasn't able to play as much towards the back end through injury, but good to have him back on home soil.
Yeah, look, I'm amazed with Kirtley. Him and Quade, you know, I played against them back in 2008. To still be running around that long and still be in that frame of mind. And it takes a great mindset, but also a really good coach. So I'm really interested in the thoughts he had around Dave Rennie getting the best out of the players. And you can see it watching, right? They were no chance of winning with a red card and all the changes. But to come away with what should have been a bigger win, I think he's disappointed with the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, there's a couple of tries that probably flattered the English in terms of the scoreboard. They were impressive tries by no means.
And who was that young winger?
Henry Arndell, yeah. He was the one that scored for London Irish against Toulon in the not the Champions Cup, the Challenge Cup, and just basically stormed onto the scene, and that's what got him picked into the squad. And now he's made the 23, scored another great try, so he could be a smoky for the starting team next week.
Yeah, no, I think so as well. But not as good as Drew Mitchell Champions Cup. Was it Championship Cup?
Yeah. But anyway, it's not about me. All right, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to wrap it up here on the show and go. And if you have any last thoughts, please text through on 0457 736 736.
Join the conversation. Call 1300 01 1170 or text 0457 736 736. You're listening to The Show and Go with Jimmy Galvin and Drew Mitchell on SEN.
Thank you and welcome back. And it's just about time to wrap up here for The Show and Go and this special international edition. But, Pete, do you have any last thoughts?
Yeah, look, first and foremost, I'm going to get my own soundtrack so that when I come in here more regular. But two games to go with the Wallabies and England, and you've got a bit of a bet going with Joe Marler, I believe.
Yeah, a little bit of Twitter last night. He was just trying to throw out a bit of bait about how much their forward pack were going to dominate Australia, and I just replied with a bit of a lol, and he thought, okay, well, let's put a wager on the next match. And so basically it comes down to this. If England win next week in Suncorp, I have to wear an England jersey in Budgie Smugglers on the bottom and walk up Caxton Street singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And if Australia win, Joe Marler has to don a Wallabies jersey, Budgie Smugglers, and sing our national anthem in, Trafalgar Square or somewhere over there in London.
It's a shame no one will hear your beautiful voice.
Well, that's right. I'm tipping after last night, up against so much adversity, the dominance that they showed. How can we lose up there in Suncorp Stadium?
I don't think it's a chance, but it'll be very, very interesting to watch.
Yeah, well, thanks again for tuning in to The Show and Go on SEN. And I think maybe Jimmy might be back next week, but I'm covering the game next week up in Suncorp, so maybe I won't be here. Who knows? But either way, it's going to be a great show. We'll have some great guests, and thanks again for tuning in to The Show and Go.